Good evening. It's Friday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. On tonight's show, Matty Maroon. You've heard his name. He's the billionaire owner of the Ambassador Bridge, and a judge has now put him in jail. We'll talk about the case that led to him being put behind bars, and we'll discuss how long he's likely to remain there. And it's still not clear who's killing Iranian nuclear scientists, but I'll be joined by a Wall Street Journal reporter from Beirut, Lebanon, to find out the latest on this case, how the actual assassination unfolded, and what we're likely to see next from Iran. But first, it seems fitting that last year's legislative year in Washington ended with yet another battle between Democrats and House Republicans, with a payroll tax extension bill passing just in the nick of time. To find out what we're in for this election year, her own re-election prospects, and when we'll start seeing some real job growth here in Michigan, I'm joined by U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow. Senator, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Michael. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. Well, tell me, so what are we in for this year when it comes to this payroll tax extension bill that extended for just 2 months? Is this going to be another major legislative battle?
Well, I'm hopeful it won't be, but I think we have a big battle going on as to whether or not more costs should be shifted on the middle-class families and senior citizens, or whether or not those who are at the very, very top economically should pay their fair share. And that's been the basic debate about whether or not to extend the payroll tax cut. This is a tax cut for over 5 million Michigan workers. It needs to be extended for the year. I also co-authored a provision that would have extended it to small businesses as well, which I think is important.
Well, House Republicans do want to cut back on federal unemployment benefits this year. That is part of this payroll tax cut bill. Would you vote and support a bill that included that change?
Well, it's very important that for folks that have lost their jobs in the fault of their own, that we have temporary help available to them. So I want to see that extended. Obviously, the best way to focus to help somebody who doesn't have a job is to make sure there's a job. So my number one focus is on creating jobs, but it is very important that we provide some temporary help. It is insurance. People pay into it, and it's a matter of having something available that keeps a roof over their head and food on the table for the kids while they're looking for work. We're still in an economy where there's about four people looking for every one job that's available. Michael, the most important thing to me is actually creating jobs. And the good news is that in spite of some real challenges that people continue to have, that the unemployment rate's coming down, the number of jobs is going up. We just seem to push to make that faster.
One last thing about that particular bill, this Keystone XL oil pipeline provision. How did that end up in this payroll tax extension bill?
Well, I'm not clear. I mean, it should have been done separately. And, you know, I'm all for creating jobs. I'm all for making sure that we've got, American homegrown energy. But that really ought to have been something evaluated separately. And so I think it was just politics that got it put together. And that's unfortunate.
I'm talking to U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow. Now, when it comes to jobs, you were at the auto show this week and said that Michigan should be a leading candidate for a national battery and energy storage research center. When you look at the changes to our business taxes that Republicans here in the state have made, do you think that type of approach will, in fact, spur job growth and encourage things like a research center?
Well, certainly I hope that what's being done is going to create jobs. That's the bottom line. We certainly want that to happen. And in my book, it's very important that we be strategically focused on new technology, new innovation. And that's why I authored the creation of a national energy hub for advanced battery technologies, and it was passed in December, and it's now going to be a competitive process through the Department of Energy where states will compete to be designated as the center. It will come with funding. There's $20 million in this year's budget. to provide support for that new research. And in my book, that ought to be in Michigan. We are the leaders right now. When you look at the auto show and you look at the great new technologies, electric hybrids, other things being done both for trucks and cars in Michigan, we've got the engineers, the skilled workers, the universities. I mean, we are the ones providing the new ideas and technologies.
If we see some real job growth here in the state in the next several years, won't state Republicans and Governor Rick Snyder be credited for their policies making that happen?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think just doesn't work for families in Michigan and businesses in Michigan is when people in elected office are only worried about who's going to get credit. I mean, the nature of things is that if some folks start things like the prior governor and they're completed by the current governor, and the current governor will start things and they'll be down the road completed by someone else. I mean, we need to be focused on the fact that we are in a global economy. We need to be all on the same side of the table, competing successfully for jobs, to have a middle class in this country and in our state, to make sure small businesses, where the majority of the job growth is, have the support that they need. And in my book, you know, in the end, the best way to make change happen is when you don't worry about who gets credit.
You're running for re-election this year. It looks almost certain now that former Congressman Pete Hoekstra will be the Republican nominee running against you. How would you describe his long career in Washington?
Well, you know, I'm really not going to get into that at this point because there still is a very competitive primary going on. And so when that gets done in August, we'll engage with the election. But right now I'm focused on the new technologies and helping to support provide, champion the turnaround of the American automobile industry in Michigan that's creating new jobs and advanced technologies, and chairing Agriculture Committee, where one out of four jobs in Michigan is related to agriculture, and we've got new great opportunities there as well. So that's where I'm focused.
Well, I wonder, when you look at the auto show, it is such a wonderful event, yet at the same time, when you look at what's happening in Detroit, it actually is a very ominous situation. They're likely going to face an emergency financial manager. There's a lot of acknowledgement that they're going to have major cutbacks to their budget, to their services. We could see a city that is going to be struggling even more in the coming years. How do you view their situation, and how do you think that could impact the state?
Well, in the short run, there's very tough decisions that need to get made, no question about it. But I think the turnaround in the automobile industry is an example of what we can do when everybody works together, is willing to make sacrifices, and really doesn't give up. I mean, 3 years ago, it was a very different place at the auto show. A lot of sacrifice by workers, retirees, the companies, auto dealers, communities, support from the public sector. I was proud to help champion those efforts and investments in innovation. And 3 years later, we're seeing them providing wonderful new products, fuel-efficient, great automobiles, and jobs are coming back. I see the same thing with the city, as that tough decisions have to be made, but at the same time, even though it's very tough, we have CEOs running towards the city instead of away from the city. When we see folks like Dan Gilbert bring 3,000 jobs downtown Detroit, and we see the support of folks like Roger Penske and Peter Carmanos and so many people who brought jobs and activity downtown. So in the long run, I actually am very hopeful.
One last thing. You say that it's not really about garnering credit necessarily when it comes to policies, but this is an election year. You're running for re-election. President Obama is also. There's going to be a lot of credit and certainly a lot of blame being attributed to candidates that are running. How do you expect the fact that it is an election year to impact legislation moving or not moving in Washington?
Well, unfortunately, I've seen more division in the last couple of years than I've ever seen, and it's wasting time, and it's wasting money, and it's getting in the way of very urgent needs and problems that need to be solved. You know, as we go forward, I think what we ought to be doing is looking at what has worked and what has not worked. What policies got us into this big deficit hole? Let's not do those again.
U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, thank you very much for joining me.
great to be with you.
And when we come back, we'll talk about that assassination of an Iranian nuclear scientist. It's not the first time it's happened, although it's still not clear who's behind it. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.